Welcome to the Benefits Beat, the podcast that helps you navigate the complex world of benefits. Together, we're going to dive deep into the industry, breaking down the barriers and exploring different topics surrounding benefits. We will be bringing in subject matter experts who will share their knowledge, offering tips and tricks to help you understand and, more importantly, benefit from your benefits. Whether it's health insurance, dental, vision, disability, or other total rewards that you are offered, we've got you covered. Our aim is to empower you with the knowledge and understanding you need to make more informed decisions. So join your hosts, Caroline and Zach, every 2 weeks as we explain the nuances, all in an effort to make it easier for you to navigate the world of benefits. Hi, I'm Zach Ward, and I am your host today for Hub Horan's Employee Benefits Podcast, The Benefits Beat. I've got an exciting guest with me today. Unlike most of the topics here, I know nothing about this, so I'm happy to have Miranda Kennedy here from our Medicare team. Miranda, thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me, Zach. I'm really excited.
Do you mind giving a little bit of background on yourself, and then I can go into what we'll talk about, and then we can get into the questions?
Sure. So I started getting into the insurance business about 4 years ago, and I knew nothing about insurance before I started, and I knew even less about Medicare. So it's been a whirlwind of a journey because there's a lot of information out there. What I've learned is that insurance seems to be almost intentionally confusing, and government insurance is even doubly So I really like being able to help guide people and just give them the facts so that they feel better about this decision.
Yeah, it's very helpful for me to just have, hey, I can go talk to Miranda. I know nothing about this. Health insurance for employers, great, I'm all in. But for Medicare, very, very confusing topic. So what we're going to do for our listeners is we're going to go over three parts of Medicare in our next three episodes. The first part, we're really just going to do an introduction to Medicare, and that's what you're going to do today. Kind of answer some general questions, who's eligible, that sort of thing. But the next two will go a little more in depth on specific questions you might have, how I go through the process, et cetera. So, Miranda, if you don't mind, what exactly is Medicare? And I'm going to take the role here of, I know nothing about this, so I might ask some dumb questions, but bear with me.
Okay.
Miranda, if you don't mind, what is Medicare?
So Medicare is government-based insurance. There have been developed parts through private insurance companies as well to help supplement the gaps of original Medicare from government. But it's basically a federal health insurance program that was designed to cover three groups of individuals whose health care was necessary.
And who is that looking at? When you think of the three individual groups, who are you talking about?
So the majority of people that what people think of when they think of Medicare is people who are age 65 and up. Mm-hmm. But it also covers people who are under age 65 who have certain disabilities. And it also covers people who have ALS, which is also known as Lou Gehrig's disease, and people with end-stage renal disease of any age.
Perfect. And I think one of the things that you mentioned it a couple times already, that Medicare is very, very confusing. And I think one of the reasons that that is because there's so many myths around who Medicare covers, what it is, right? How do I get it? And those sort of things. But what are some of the most common myths that, as you think about what our listeners are thinking about, they're coming of age for Medicare, what are some of the myths that you would quote unquote debunk?
I would love to be a myth buster for Medicare myths. There are so many out there, but the main ones are really that people think that they have to sign up for Medicare when they turn 65 or they're breaking some kind of law. And that's not necessarily true for everyone. There are three options, basically, and I know you're going to go into this a little more in detail in the next episode, but just very basically, when you're turning 65 and you're on an employer plan, you can either do nothing and just stay on your employer plan, you're employed full-time, you can stay covered as you always have been. Two, you could come off your employer plan and you can go on to Medicare. Mm-hmm. Three, you could stay on your employer plan and just sign up for Medicare Part A, which we're going to go into a little bit, I think, of what the parts are. But that part is just hospital coverage, so it doesn't duplicate your medical coverage that you're already paying for.
Is there a way I can keep both coverages? I know you mentioned you can sign up for just Part A, and I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but just as somebody that, again, doesn't understand anything about Medicare, can I have Medicare and my employer's coverage?
You can. Now, we wouldn't recommend that you have Part A and B unless it's necessary. And I don't want to tread too much on what episode two is going to go into, but as long as your employer has more than 20 employees, Medicare is still secondary to your employer plan. So if you went on to Medicare Part A, that's the part that most people think is free. It's not actually free. You've just prepaid through your taxes and through working.
Oh, I know. I know it.
We've all seen those taxes come out long before we think we need them. So as long as you've worked 10 years in this country and you've paid into Medicare taxes, there's no cost for Part A. And that's why we say you can go ahead and join on that. That would be just a secondary hospital insurance for you.
So, Miranda, there's two more myths that I wanted to ask you about. So the first one is that Medicare is automatic for everybody and that you're just enrolled in it no matter what you do. And then the second one is that you can't have a health savings account after the age of 65 and if you enroll in Medicare. Could you talk about those two and just kind of how they relate to each other?
Yeah, these are big ones because they come up a lot for people. Medicare is not automatic for everyone. The only time that you're automatically enrolled in Medicare is if you are already drawing Social Security by the age of 65. Then Social Security automatically will sign you up for at least Part A, and they will mail out your Medicare card. You'll get it about 3 months before your 65th birthday month. The other time that you Medicare enrollment is automatic is if you've been taking Social Security disability insurance for 24 consecutive months, then on your 25th month, you will be automatically enrolled in Medicare. The other myth you mentioned, which is a big one for the HSA or health savings account, if you turn 65 and you don't change anything on your employer coverage, then nothing changes. You can continue to contribute to your HSA as you normally have. If you decide to come onto Medicare, there is an IRS rule that says you can't contribute nor accept contributions to an HSA account if you have a secondary insurance, and Medicare is considered secondary. So if you have any part of Medicare, you have to stop your contributions to your HSA. Now, the one exception is if your spouse is on Medicare, but you as the employee are not, then you can continue to contribute. You contribute up to the family maximum. Nothing changes. They really only, the rule only applies to the employee.
And you can continue to spend that HSA health savings account money after you turn 65 to pay for medical expenses.
That's right. Actually, I mean, it's your money after that. So
yep.
You can do whatever you want, as if it's not for, if it's not for medical expenses, then you do have to pay income tax on it.
Right.
But yes, you can continue to use it. You can use it to pay for any Medicare expenses, as even your premiums.
And what would be some of the reasons, like you mentioned, I can join Medicare if I'm 65 or if I have ALS, et cetera. What are the main reasons that people are taking Medicare?
Really, it comes down to what your medical needs are, if your current insurance plan is fulfilling those needs, or if it's maybe more expensive and more, it would be more beneficial for you to come onto Medicare. That's why it really helps to talk to somebody who has expertise in that area and can advise you and help you compare your current plan to what full Medicare coverage would look like for you, and then you can determine if those numbers work or not.
So for our listeners, if they were to call in and let's say they're 65 and they turn 65 in April of 2024 and they call you, what are kind of the services that you provide? I want to highlight that because I think when I'm talking to employers, I get a lot of questions about people don't understand it. They need a resource, right? And I'm just curious what your team, where you feel like you're adding a lot of value for our listeners and kind of how you're explaining it to them.
Primarily what we do as Medicare advisors is educate people. Like we've talked about, it's confusing. There's a lot of myths out there. There's a lot of misinformation out there, and nobody wants to mess up something. So we really just helped people to understand the facts about Medicare, how the parts work, what they do, and how they work together, and if it works for you or not. On top of that, we offer individual advice, as in looking at what exact plans would cost for you specifically, the providers that you care about, the medications that you're on, your specific health concerns, and then we help you find a solution that you feel comfortable with.
And I know the answer to this, but I still want to make sure that we're touching on it. What is the cost to our listeners if they were to call you and say, hey, I have some questions about Medicare?
Our advice is completely free.
And how do you guys get paid?
We get asked this a lot. We are contracted with all of the main insurance carriers. So I love that we're not beholden to any insurance carrier, which means that we can really shop the market and go for what is the most beneficial for our clients and what is in their best interest. And when we do happen to sell a plan, that's we get commission from the insurance carrier.
But as far as like one-on-one questions and research and that sort of thing, it's totally free for our listeners.
It's totally free. And actually, I wish everybody who is Medicare eligible or knew somebody who is Medicare eligible would call us just because I've heard so many I don't want to sound dramatic and say horror stories, but I've heard so many sad stories of people getting bad information or think they were doing the right thing, mm-hmm. and then they ended up kind of getting stuck somewhere that they didn't need to be or paying more than they needed to pay.
So, Miranda, you've mentioned a couple of the parts already, but there is four parts of Medicare, if I understand that right. There's A, B, C, and D. Could you walk through, okay, what is A, what is B, what is C, and what is D? And then conversely, what each one of them cost-wise would be? Not per se of premium, but are they paid through your taxes and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so there's basically two sides to Medicare. There's the government side, and then there's the insurance side, which is through insurance companies. So the government side is Part A and B. B as in boy. And Part A, as we talked about, is the hospital insurance. That also covers skilled nursing facilities. Hospice care also falls underneath Part A. That's basically when you become an inpatient at a facility. Part B is your medical insurance. That's your doctor office visits, your labs, tests, MRIs, also medical equipment like wheelchairs, oxygen tanks. Yeah. All of that falls underneath Part B. That's your just medical coverage that you're used to on your employer plan.
So to jump back to what you said before about how if I'm 65 and I'm still on an employer's plan, I can still take the Part A, which is just, okay, if I go to the hospital, I'm going to get some sort of coverage for that while maintaining that medical, dental, vision through my employer.
Correct.
And that is no cost to me because, again, as long as I've paid my taxes throughout the years, then I have no cost of that.
Yeah, there's a minimum of 40 quarters, or that's, you know, usually equates to 10 years of working. You or your spouse, you can get into Part A with no cost.
Okay, perfect. And then C and D, I think those are where a lot of the confusion comes. I think people understand the A and B, but when you get to the C and D, they're not sure what it covers. They're not sure how to interact with it.
Yep, and it's a little confusing. Everything seems to have more than one name that it can go by. Part C is also referred to as Medicare Advantage plans. Those are the plans that you see advertised for $0 premiums, and they have additional perks like dental and vision included. Something to know about them is there's always going to be a trade-off when it comes to insurance. So that $0 premium and all those additional perks, you have to know that those are run on networks. So in order to take advantage of those benefits, you have to make sure that your provider's in network. That's really important. Some people don't think about things like skilled nursing facilities until they need them. And then they realize, you know, they have to find a skilled nursing facility that's in network with their plan. Part D is, just think D for drugs is honestly the easiest way to put it. That's your prescription drug insurance, and that's another requirement. If you do have Medicare and you're on full Medicare, the government requires you to have drug coverage, and that is basically just what you pay at the pharmacy for your drugs, and those plans also come with a premium, but if you're on a Medicare Advantage plan, they're usually wrapped into that Medicare Advantage plan at no extra cost.
And then, Miranda, what about Medicare supplement? So it's not truly a part of Medicare, but you're still able to get it? I mean, I don't quite understand. I don't quite understand it, so I'm looking to you here.
Yeah, so Medicare supplement is your alternative to Medicare Advantage plans. It's not really part of Medicare, as in you can't take the premium out of your Social Security like you can for the other parts, but it is the opposite almost of Medicare Advantage plans. For somebody who wants a plan that has no networks, you can go to any Medicare provider in the country, which is, you know, 95% of the providers in this country that accept Medicare. These are the ones where you hear another version of alphabet soup. You hear Plan G, Plan F, Plan N. Those are the plans of Medicare supplements. Those are federally mandated, so they're regulated by the government. And a Plan G is a Plan G, no matter which insurance company you buy it from. They're all selling you the same coverage, but you just shop price for those. So those don't have a $0 monthly premium. They do come with a monthly premium that's based on your zip code, your gender, and your age. But the trade-off is that they have a much lower maximum out-of-pocket than Medicare Advantage plans can have. So there are pros and cons of both sides, and that's kind of what we help break down for people, is just pros and cons and what are the rules.
Miranda, what when you say max out-of-pocket is lower a lot of times for Medicare supplement plans, what do you mean? I think of it in typical medical coverage terms, but what does that exactly mean?
So that's a great question. The Medicare Advantage plans, they work similarly to old traditional copay plans that we're used to. You have copays for office visits, and then there is a medical maximum out-of-pocket that you pay. And those typically run from $4,000 to $7,000. But one thing that people have to understand is a lot of times we're used to group coverage where you have a family plan, mm-hmm. and that's your maximum out-of-pocket. Medicare is all individual, so this is $4,000 to $7,000 per person, and that's when you max out that plan of how much you have to pay. For a Medicare supplement plan, if, for example, you are on Plan G, which is the most popular plan right now because it's the most comprehensive that's on the market, mm-hmm. maximum out-of-pocket that you would pay on top of your monthly premium would only be something we didn't talk about, which is your Part B deductible, which for this year is $240. It is reevaluated by the government every year, but you can see that there's a difference of if you get a bill and you have to pay up to $4,000 of it, or if you get a bill and you have to pay $240 of it.
So if I have a $1 million bill, right, things have gone the worst case scenario, I'm only paying $240 out of my pocket if I have a Plan G.
Right. So I don't want to sugarcoat it. You're still paying that monthly premium.
Right, right.
But yes, out of that bill, you would pay the first $240 and your Medicare supplement would pick up the rest, and it would pick up the rest of your Medicare costs for the rest of the year.
So when you say Medicare costs, you're talking about premiums and everything?
No, I'm sorry. No, let me qualify. It would pick up the rest of your Medicare claims costs.
Gotcha.
For the rest of the year.
So I'd still be responsible for my premiums, but any additional bills that I had, that would just be covered at 100%.
Exactly.
Perfect. Miranda, I know, so we've talked about all the different parts, right? We've talked about Part A, Part B, Part C, Part D, Medicare supplements. Then there's this other one that's about identical to Medicare, and it's called Medicaid, because they like to confuse us. I don't understand what it is. I don't understand the differences between Medicare, Medicaid. I think maybe one is for kids. I don't really know. Could you tell me what the difference is between, okay, I'm on Medicare, which is what we're talking about today, and then what Medicaid is?
Yeah, people do confuse it a lot because the words are so similar, but Medicare is specifically healthcare coverage from the federal government for individuals that we talked about, either over age 65 or with certain disabilities, right, or diseases. Medicaid is a federal and state program that helps cover medical costs for low-income individuals. So Medicare has, your eligibility for Medicare has nothing to do with your income, but for Medicaid, you have to be eligible for it based on your income.
So if I had to distill it down, Medicare is based on my age and health, and then Medicare is based on my income.
Yep, and
that's kind of what qualifies me.
Right, of any age.
And are you guys able to help with Medicaid as well?
We can help when it kind of overlaps with Medicare, as in when you're dual eligible, is what they call people who are eligible for Medicaid and also eligible for Medicare. We can help find plans for that. But for Medicaid help, we would redirect you back to your state department. They're the ones that can help you figure out if you're eligible, how much you're eligible. That's not really our department.
Gotcha.
It's not the healthcare.
So. No, that makes perfect sense. Well, I think we've covered everything that we wanted to cover today, just kind of as an introduction. I want to leave our listeners with how to get in touch with you guys. I know for our listeners on the employer side, we have our advocacy team, we have our engagement team, but if they wanted to reach out, they said, hey, this episode was fantastic. Miranda did a great job. I want to learn about Medicare. How would they get in touch with you?
We have, for our team, we have a general inbox, which is mihb@horanisos.com. Anybody can reach out to that. It'll come to all of our agents, and somebody will get back to you as soon as possible.
Well, Miranda, thank you for your time. It's been super helpful. Our next episode in 2 weeks is going to go over a little bit about how to enroll in Medicare, actually. Understanding your options, understanding how to actually go through the process. Now that you understand what it is, you have to understand how to take it. So we appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. I hope it was helpful.
Nothing we say in this podcast is representative of any specific plan and should not be considered as legal, regulatory, or accounting advice. If there are any discrepancies between what we say and your plan document will prevail. If you have any questions about your benefits, please reach out to your HR representative. Thanks for tuning in today. Our suggestion box is always open, so if you have a question you'd like us to answer or a topic you would like us to cover, send us a message on Instagram @TheBenefitsBeat. And remember to subscribe on your favorite listening app so you never miss an episode, and be sure to follow us on social media for more benefits, tips, and tricks.